Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and this is Anthony McDonald. Welcome to the Lloyd Gainey podcast, From the Street to Here. And this is the part two of his podcast, and we're joined with Lloyd Gainey himself. Lloyd, yesterday we got a podcast from you, the part one of this feature, and you kind of gave us an idea of Lloyd Gainey, who he is, and kind of a brief description of your life going from the streets and getting off the streets, now in your own place, you know, with a partner now, a sweet lady named Leanne, and now with a projective future that's very optimistic, and today we're going to talk about that. Lloyd, you know me very well. I know you very well as well. Outside of this podcast, I met you, I guess about a year and a half ago now, at the Sanctuary Church, which is a 3 o'clock church gathering on Sunday in Lakeland, Florida, in Munn Park, which is run by Pastor Mark Barton, who is a good friend of both of ours, founder of the Mad Hatter, which is a concert venue that used to run on Saturdays, and then church service would be on Sunday. Now we certainly have church every Sunday at 3, which is very non-conventional, I'll certainly say. We smash TVs. And it's a real cool time to have a really different kind of a pastor that still wonderfully gives the message of God, but can also speak in our language as attendees at this service every Sunday. And this is where I met you, Lloyd. I met you, I guess, about a year and a half now ago. And at this time, Lloyd, you were a homeless person. You're living day-to-day on the street. You had to endure that, which was what I could imagine, just a terrible, terrible life when you're just destitute and have nothing like that. And me and you talked about, even when you were on the streets, you know, what you were going through. We did an interview, a video interview, which we have on the Elite Fiction Facebook page. Check out facebook.com/Elite Fiction, and you can find the interview that we did quite a while back, 8 months ago or so. But me and you, Lloyd, we got to talking just recently about you doing a podcast. You've also, to let the listeners know, have been featured in your own article in the local paper here in Lakeland, Florida. So it must feel very good to have overcome this. So let's go ahead and, because this is all about you, Lloyd, this is your story here at the Lloyd Gainey Problem Podcast, let's go ahead and kind of show the people what they're in for here with this episode. Let's go ahead and start with, I'd like to find out, how old are you, Lloyd?
I'm 55 now. I was 54 when you met me, living on the streets. I've been living on the streets for 3 years because of my family and due to alcohol. I hadn't touched nothing in like 3 years now. And since I got saved through Pastor Mark and baptized, I've been pulling forward every day thanks to you pulling me out of the gutter, you, Kevin, and Pastor Mark and Matt Hatter Church, but mainly you, because you've been there beside my side every day through phone or text.
No, I appreciate you noting that, you know, on your program. That's cool. And it's my pleasure. You know, I tell you, Lloyd, I knew right off the bat that you were a good person, and I grew to know you for your kind soul. You know, you've got a real genuine goodness and gentleness about you, Lloyd, that's easy to make friends with. And, you know, I try to be a good guy, so good guys kind of notice each other, you know, and I got you back, man. So I'm proud to have been able to help you at least the best I could. I want to go ahead and ask you, where did you grow up? Are you from Florida? Where are you from?
I'm from Haines City, Florida, off of Secondary Road, which is off of 27 in Haines City. I lived in a three-bedroom house until I was like 10 years old. Then my dad retired from the service when we moved to Pensacola, Florida, and that's where I grew up at.
So you grew up in the Panhandle area of this state?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell us about your family. You mentioned your dad. Who are Lloyd Gainey's mom and dad? I mean, what were those people to you in reference to value in your life and who you are? Did you have a good mom, a good dad? Did you have a good growing up?
Well, I had a good dad that believed in if you didn't work, you didn't get food on your table or your bills didn't get paid. My mama, she was both ways, but she made sure that we got it, got clothes, got our schooling. But my dad, he was mainly the head of everything. He made sure the bills was paid, stuff like that. Always taught us the value of money. How to make money and not beg for it. You had to work for it.
Yeah, and that had to have given you a sense of, you know, what it is to be, you know, worthy of making money and getting out there and the struggle to provide for your family. So it certainly seems that, you know, that stands out, you know, to you, you know, how valuable it is to have to get out there and make money, or else you're just not going to survive or even feed your family. So I can certainly hear that in your voice, you know, that he really strived to take care of you guys. What was his name? What's your mom and dad's name?
James Gainey and Francine Marlowe Gainey.
Okay, and did you have siblings growing up?
No, it's just that my real dad's name was James D. Gainey, and my mom's name was Francine May Gainey. They were from Haines City, Florida, off of Becky Dairy Road.
So what did your dad do for a job?
He worked at Haines City packing house, doing the grooves, spraying them down after he got out of the service.
And your mom, was she just kind of like a stay-at-home mom, or did she have to work as well?
She was a stay-at-home mom. Stay-at-home, took care of us till we got grown.
Okay, well, that's great. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have one brother, Skill. He, let's just say, he killed two people back in June. He's in South County, Polk County Jail, Sheriff, in South County Jailhouse. He's got $50,000 bond. Everybody, the reason I got on the ledger is my boss wanted everybody to know that I wasn't my brother, that I come from a long different breed of Gaineys, and that if I could do it, everybody else can. And I'm glad he did, in a way, because it's not just stopped a lot of aggravation, but stopped a lot of stuff that I don't have to worry with no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had him, my brother. I got one other brother. His name's Larry Gainey. I don't get to speak to him very much because he goes out of state working.
Right.
He lives in Alturas.
Okay. Alturas, which is outside of Bartow, Florida. Also here in the central area, it conjoins Bartow, which Bartow actually conjoins Lakeland. So we're all in kind of the same area. Alturas is a very woodsy type of part of Florida. Let's go ahead and kind of talk about, you know, you growing up. First off, let's talk about your first job. What did you do first for employment growing up in your early years?
In my early years, I had my own business for 9 years doing landscaping.
Landscaping, that's cool. I would imagine you did a lot of yards, you know, a lot of mowing, keeping up, things like that,
a
right?
A lot of mowing, a lot of raking, a lot of trimming, baking, pulling weeds by hand, all that. It wasn't none of this like it is nowadays where you do it with a blower or whatever. We done it by hand. And up there, it ain't called centipede grass. It's called bahia grass. There's a lot of difference.
Yeah. What were your hobbies growing up? I mean, what kind of things did you like to do for fun? Were you a reader? Were you into, say, the early video games, movies? What were your things that made you happy?
My main thing was the Bible. I got more out of the Bible than I did out of the newspaper because you always had bad stuff happening all the time.
Right. And, you know, you actually... You got to see some of the major events in history, being 55. That's quite something to have kind of lived through the 70s and the 80s and have seen things like the Berlin Wall coming down and, you know, very, very standout epic events, you know, the beginning of the internet and cell phones. I mean, you got to see the beginnings of a lot of things. So I guess what I'm really kind of trying to segue into is with all these major, you know, things that you've witnessed in history, you know, like the end of Vietnam, things like that. What are some of the things that really stand out before we even really get into the street life? Do you remember, you know, any of the major events in history, anything that really kind of stands out to you that you grew up through? Do you remember anything like that? Anything you want to talk about, like, say, Vietnam, things like that?
The only thing I remember is, Apollo 3 that got burned, that blew up. Apollo 3 or whatever it was, it blew up a long time ago.
The Challenger, I believe. Shuttle that blew up and killed a lot of needed, important astronauts. Did you watch that on TV?
Yes, I was watching Colorado that got his nose broke by the skinheads.
Oh, wow.
When they aired it, I was watching him when it blowed up.
Oh, wow. Ain't that something? So you actually got to see it live out there.
Yeah.
Before we actually do kind of get into the story of the hard knock part of your life, because we're talking about major events, one that we've both shared is 9/11. Everybody kind of remembers where they were when 9/11 happened. Where were you when the Twin Towers were brought down?
I was here in Lakeland, living on the streets.
Living on the streets. And that was back in 2001. And I guess it's good that we're kind of going into that. Tell me, Lloyd, you had a business at one time. Did the business falling under your... I know you were married at one time. Is this where your story starts, you know, where things went kind of downward? Where did that happen?
Yes. My wife was into crack and meth real bad, and I was an alcoholic. But I got off of alcohol, and then she was still on meth and crack, and then she left for a while and got a judge to say that I was mistreating her, so I ended my business. After 9 years. So I've become homeless after that. And then my family was supposed to take care of me, which they didn't do. And they promised my mom on her deathbed they would make sure I'm okay, but they didn't do it. But for some reason or another, something used to tell me to go see Pastor Mark. So I would go down there and see him on Sunday just to have something to eat, but I wouldn't get too close to people. I always was a loner, like you see me when I was down there, and stay with too many people. But I got closer and closer as we got to know one another, and I just kept coming back to Lakeland because Lakeland was my home.
Right.
I guess you kind of can say, like, wherever you was born, that's your home. You don't want to give it up. So
We're kind of getting into that, being kind of the nitty-gritty now of you being on the streets. So I understand how you got there. What I really would like to know now is the darkness of your life on the streets. Can you kind of give the listeners, as well as myself, a real in-depth idea of what it's like to live from having a job, having a family? You know, I know you had stepkids that you raised, and I think that's awesome. What was it like from going to having, you know, stability to be able to sustain yourself and to just losing it all? What was that like to have to live through?
That was devastating because it's like throwing a rock at you or something, you know. You don't know where you're at, where your next meal is going to come from. People turning you down, telling you you can't use the bathroom. Go get a job. Go clean yourself up. Back then, there was no place but the cattle house. And the lighthouse, they didn't really, you know, take you unless you was whatever when you get on the program. But I say to myself, I went through cardboard boxes underneath bridges, anywhere I could get to get out of the cold or the rain. Sometimes people would let me sleep on the porch or in the truck, but other than that, I was on a dark side there for a while. And then one day Pastor Mark talked to me about getting baptized, and I said, okay, I'll do that. But I wasn't going to come back no more. And so he started talking to me, and I started coming back. And I'm glad I got you, Brother Anthony. I mean, you and Kevin saved me, but mainly God put me off the street. But mainly God put y'all in my life for a reason, and I don't want to lose that again. I mean, you got to want to change. You just can't say you want to change and you don't do it. I mean, I take care of a handicapped person now, and she's starting to change a little bit. It's rough, but God put me with her and giving me more patience every day with her. Like I say, you got to want to change in life. I mean, you just can't keep on saying you want it, then don't do it. I mean, my life was bad, but that's because I chose that life. I didn't have God in my life like I do now. And as long as I got God in my life, I'm not scared of nothing. They can throw rocks or whatever at me. I'm still going to keep on fighting for God. I mean, like I told you, when Pastor Mark said my heart belongs to him now, it does, all of it, not just part of it, not just saying it. I'm doing it for them, and I want these people out here in the real world to know that, you know, you can be homeless and you not even know it. All homeless people ain't bad, just you. And the ones that's bad, you got to pray for them that they change. But the ones that really want to change, that's the ones that people should help and keep them on the straight and narrow path. I mean, look at you. You helped me get through all this. And mainly God, but God put you in my path to keep me straight and keep in contact with me over the last few months. And tell you the truth, I wouldn't know what I'd do without even hearing from you or you texting me. You keep me up on high street.
You're a good guy, Lloyd, and you're a good friend, and because you automatically showed me that you were a good person and were willing to help others, you know, you automatically became, you know, a great friend of mine, and you always will be. I want to go ahead now and kind of ask you a couple of things. We got about 10 minutes left in the show of your part two of your program. I can actually see this maybe going into another part, maybe a part three of your first episode, maybe tomorrow, maybe in the next couple of days, because there's other things I want to elaborate on, but we only get 30 minutes right now for this program. So let me ask you about your getting into your place. Tell me about how you went from the streets to now your own place with Leanne and a stable life. How did that happen?
We met at church. And then, actually, I met her with a friend of yours that you don't like no more for certain reasons. But anyway, he told me about her, and you know, we got talking, and we ended up together, and we've been together ever since. And God put us together, and so we've been together, been fighting it. think you don't like it like that, but that's the way God meant for it to be, for us to be together. And it ain't no bed of roses. I mean, we have our ups and downs and our problems, but we got rid of them earlier.
Yeah. And how, you know, you and her, I know you're working, how are you guys, especially going from the streets to being, you know, in a placement, your own place now, sustaining yourself, how are the bills getting paid? Are they getting paid through your work? Do y'all collect any kind of disability, you two, or anything like that that's paying these bills?
She gets SSI and I get SSI, and it's tough right now. I mean, we have barely enough to buy groceries, or I don't even have enough to even save up for a way of going. I was somebody that had a car, an extra vehicle, that could donate to us so that I could carry her to her doctor's appointments and not be late. I mean,
yeah,
that would help out a lot. I mean, it would help out for me to get another job if somebody had a vehicle that could donate to us or donate to your program to help us. I mean, I love her to death, Brother Anthony. I don't want to see her miss her doctor's appointments because she has to depend on people to come and get her, and then sometimes they can't. And I have to stop what I'm doing to make sure she's got everything done. And it's rough. I mean, I just hope that God sends somebody our way or your way to help, you know, care about these people. I mean, people think that you're on SSI, you make a whole lot of money, but we start paying bills, you don't.
Right. And that doesn't leave you with very much at all, if anything. I understand that. Lloyd, let me ask you, what are your future goals? I mean, you've already overcome quite a daunting situation going from the streets now to being on your own, you know, being employed. You've got a love life now. It seems like things are really going, you know, getting better and going up for you. What are your what do you see in the future happening, things that you're going to do? What do you look forward to doing in your later years?
Well, in my later years, I want to help the homeless people, but right now I want to start my own business and either doing yard work or cleaning like I do for my part-time boss man, and just keep stuff clean and make sure and take care of handicapped people at the end and make sure they know that people really do care instead of just say it.
Yeah. You were featured in the Lakeland Ledger, which is our major publication magazine or newspaper in Lakeland. It reaches all of the outskirts, basically, of Polk County. It's kind of like the main paper of Polk County, Florida. Tell me how that came about. How did you learn that you were going to be featured on the front page of this magazine or our newspaper?
I don't know. My boss wanted the people, the big shots, to know that I wasn't a bad homeless person. But he gave me a spot to clean up outside, and it went from cleaning up outside to just part-time stuff now. But it's due to one lady that thinks I'm a bad person because of my past. Everybody's got a past, and it's all how you change that past. You can live in the past or you can change it. And this lady just won't give up. I mean, she keeps on fighting my boss. And my boss tells me, well, you can't work during the day, you can work at night, blah, 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 blah. But I know God's going to open up a door for him to overcome a lot of them obstacles. He's got a heart to help homeless people like me and help handicapped people. That's how I got become to be with Leanne, is because he works with handicapped people also. And that's how I got in the Ledger. He wanted everybody to know that I wasn't like my brother or nothing. I was different. So
I think I know who you're talking about. We've had a discussion about this person before. And from what I take from it, Lloyd, a lot of people, including, at least in my opinion, herself, are scared of homeless people. You know, and there's really no reason to be scared of people that are not as fortunate as you, for fear that they're going to rob you, or for fear that, you know, they're going to annoy you asking for money. You know,
Is that kind of the consensus that we're dealing with here? You know, just someone that's afraid and just not respectful at all of a homeless person, basically, is what it boils down to.
Yes, sir. And, you know, that made me change my attitude towards her and just understand her a little better. But also, he's made me understand that that's where I got to have patience and wait on him instead of wait on me.
Yeah.
Because man, a failure where he'll open doors for us. And I hope that one day that he does open the door for the ones that really want to change and they got to want to change. Or at least make them think they want to change. I mean, he did me. I'm going to change no matter what.
All right. Well, Lloyd, we got about 3 minutes left in the program. This is your last opportunity, at least in this program, which I think we're probably going to make one more part to this here in the very, very near future. Would you like to go ahead and give some ending statements to the listeners, to anybody that is still on the street right now that is able enough to listen into the program and hear you? We got a lot of listeners right now where I'm looking here on the board. What would you like to leave everybody with in this program as far as what you've been through and what you want them to know about the struggle you've been through?
I just like them to know that I've been through a lot of trouble in the last year trying to find a job. But you don't want to change and get off yourself and do something. I mean, you just can't say it. And you don't go up to people and ask them for money. You go up there and ask them for work to earn that money. That makes a person look at you different. You prove to them that you can want the money. They'll help you. I mean, look at me. I went from where I was at to working at all the other restaurants downtown. And I didn't go to them asking them for money. I didn't go to them asking them for food. I went and asked them, could I earn it? And there's a difference. When you ask a person, can you earn it, you feel better about yourself. You feel better about getting up, doing something the next morning. You don't feel like you got to have a hangover from drinking just because you asked more money to go get a beer. There's more to life than just drinking your life away on the streets. I mean, come on, people. Y'all know better than this. It's up to you if you want to change or not. Nobody can twist your arm. You got to do it yourself. And that goes for the handicapped people that's homeless, too. You don't want to get off the street and change or get somebody to help you that will care for you. Well, the only one that really cares for you is God. He puts people in your path. And, you don't need to mess that up. And that's all I can say.
Well, that's great, Lloyd, and I just want to thank you very much for doing this podcast, as well as for being a real shining light in my life, Lloyd. You're a really stand-up guy, and I appreciate you for who you are, for your message, for what you've endured, and who you've become, and I look forward to seeing you progress later on, in your life. So I really appreciate you doing all this. You're a good guy. So, Lloyd, this is where we go ahead and depart. So we have 60 seconds left in the show.
Brother Anthony, I'd just like to say that if you know of anybody that's got an extra car they want to donate, please feel free to give them my number. I do have license to haul her around. Because if her workers don't come all the time, she needs to go places, and it's kind of rough for her right now.
Yeah. All right, well, listeners, you heard it. So certainly feel free to take on that initiative. If you actually do have an automobile, then please certainly donate it to us, and we'll make sure that it gets right in Lloyd's hands. Lloyd Gainey, you're a gentleman. You're a good guy, and you're a great friend. And I just want to say thank you again for doing this, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more of you in the future, my friends. So have a great night, Lloyd, and you all as well, listeners. Thank you for tuning into the Elite Fiction Network. This is the Lloyd Gainey Podcast. From the Streets to Here, Episode 1, Part 2. Good night.